What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, June 18th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
How are you, Tim?
I'm fantastic.
You survived E3.
What an E3 that was.
Congratulations. Your favorite E3 of all time.
My favorite of all time.
Including the first one you went to with Kevin Butler. Including the PlayStation 4. Hey, this is how you trade games. We're going to be cheaper.
The other ones had moments that were way better than anything that happened this year.
Yeah.
But overall, I played more games that I enjoyed. I played more games that I think are going to be like potential 10 out of 10s.
Okay.
And man, Smash Brothers, Spider-Man, Cyberpunk, like, are you kidding? Resident Evil 2 remake, like, ooh, there's so much good stuff.
We have E3 questions, but I'd like to save them for later because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, squad ups, and everything else under the video game sun. Wow, that was dangerous. Then watch us record live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen on podcast services around the globe. If you're watching live on Twitch, you have a special job right now. You need to be going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what facts we screw up as we screw them up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on the YouTube and on the podcast services. Housekeeping for you. Number one, announced today, Tim and myself, Greg Miller, we're going to RTX London. Our first time ever going to London.
Hold on to your knickers, girls. That was a quote from Spice World, the hit movie.
Oh, yeah, it was. No, that's true. We're going to RTX London. You can buy tickets right now at rtxlondon.com. That is September 15th through the 16th. We will be there in force doing panels, I assume, being stupid, being crazy. Definitely. If I see Gus, I will stab him. Here's what I heard is that the London cops don't even carry guns. So it's whatever. It's like free. It's like Wild West over there. Okay. We come in. They're not going to expect this.
The dudes with the hats?
No, those are the guard. They're palace guards.
But I feel like Gus needs those guys.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. The RTX London guardians or enforcers, whichever they are, should be walking around with those giant things. There's too many made up names for these people. Mm-hmm. You know, the RTX security. Yes. And also today we're brought to you by Brooklyn and MeUndies. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. You're rusty, aren't you, Kev?
I don't got it in my throat.
You don't got it in your throat at all. That was a rusty ass opening.
That was hard. That was tough.
Don't worry.
I don't know if you noticed.
I almost choked on my own spit starting the show. Five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
All right, that's getting better.
That was good.
Kevin and or Cool Greg, first thing I'm going to need is we need to open a window or put on the fan because it is balls ass hot in here.
It's spicy.
Number one story is one that stretches from last week into this week, but I haven't had a forum to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about it here. Fortnite is still fucking pissing me off. And when I say that Fortnite's pissing me off, what I really mean is PlayStation being very, very backwards about all of this. As you may remember, Tim, last week on Tuesday, it was E3. We were watching the Nintendo conference. They announced, guess what, everybody? Fortnite coming to the Switch, available at pretty much the end of this thing. Yeah, yeah. Everybody gets on there. We downloaded it. I had to go through a bunch of hoops because I didn't have my Google Authenticator anymore. Mm-hmm. Nintendo support, incredibly supportive and helpful. I want to give them a shout out. I called them on the phone.
1-800-255-3700. That's their number.
Called them on the phone, got a real person. In 30 minutes, everything was fixed and I was back in my account. I said, thank you very much, guys. You are helpful. However, what I found not helpful is that when I tried to jump into Fortnite on the Switch with my Epic account, I was told, like millions of other players out there, sorry, you can't do this. You've already attached this to the PlayStation, and PlayStation won't allow this to happen. I was flabbergasted. And so then, of course, it all starts spilling out that basically, if you've ever used your Epic account, the third-party Epic account, to log in on the PlayStation 4, you've agreed to things you didn't know necessarily you were agreeing to. Mainly the fact that you can't use it to now sign into Xbox or Nintendo Switch Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, on mobile, you can still use the PlayStation the account associated with the PlayStation account. On PC, you can still use an account, your Epic account associated with your PlayStation account. This started gaining all sorts of steam. Now, I tweeted about it in one of my normal tweets of like, this is bullshit, which then went incredibly viral and was all over the place, put into a bunch of news stories. Thank you, news people. But what I found was that there was still, most people got it, but there was still this thing of just like, well, what if you do this? What if you do that? What if you can go into your Epic Games account and see what you've connected your Fortnite account or your Epic account to, you can then disconnect it. a lot of people thought this will solve the problem. If I disconnect from PlayStation, I can connect it to Switch. I can connect it to Xbox. I'll be fine. No. Turns out once you've connected it to PlayStation, even if you disconnect from PlayStation, you are locked and loaded, always attached to this thing. You are, it's bonded at the DNA level.
And this has been a problem for a while, just now because of the Switch, people actually care. Because right. Andy had issues with the Xbox and PlayStation versions.
Sure. So when I tweeted out about this, there was a lot of people who were like, oh my gosh, yeah, thanks for talking about this. And a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, I'm learning about this for the first time. And there were plenty of other people of like, it's cool that you're mad about this, but why weren't you mad with Rocket League or this or all these other things? It gets hairy because I feel in the past what people have tried to get bent out of shape about is cross-play. Mm-hmm. Cross-play, of course, being the fact that on my PlayStation 4 right now, I can play with PC players, I can play with mobile players, I cannot play with Xbox players, which I think most people, and I am still of the camp of, cool. A weird, I mean, it's whatever, PlayStation, do whatever you want. Like, everybody has their own rights and rules.
I feel like I'm in the same place with you, where it's like, I don't agree with that decision, yeah, but I understand it's yours it, to and make. That's your right to
it's
make.
It's yours to make.
That does make business sense, yeah, in a way, whereas this...
This is the one, yeah, where what I'm mad about is that Fortnite is all about progression. Fortnite is a game where all you're doing is going through and earning rewards and getting cooler gear for your character. And when you run into somebody who looks awesome or is using a cool glider or is using a cool pickaxe, you understand that either they've been playing previous seasons of Battle Pass, they're really far advanced in this Battle Pass, something to that effect. And luckily, in terms of Fortnite, we've played it for party mode. I've horsed around with Andy before on a few nights. I've never fallen all the way in on PlayStation 4. So while I have an account there that I've used and want to link and just have the same stuff I already unlocked, it's not the end all be all. Because like literally, if we had free time this weekend, we were playing Fortnite on Switch. After E3 went down, went to Scott Lowe's house, had a barbecue, stayed over there, and it was like the Nintendo fucking Switch commercial of me, Jen, and Scott playing on our Switches, and then James Faulkner playing on his mobile phone, and us all just playing and being like,
together?
Yeah. Man. Holy crap. Video games this are is cool, man. It was insane, and it was awesome, and it was literally so much fun. I think I've probably already put in more hours on Switch than I have life to date on PlayStation 4.
Uh-huh.
But I still wanted all my PlayStation 4 stuff. I still feel like that was my quote unquote real account. But when PlayStation did this, when this happened, when you noticed this, my tweet basically was saying, this doesn't make me go, oh, well, I'm only going to play on PlayStation. What this really makes me do is like, man, I guess I'm going to abandon that PlayStation account and just now if I want to play on a console, play on Xbox One. It's doing the exact opposite of what they want, right? What we didn't talk about because it was E3 and a million things were happening is that the BBC went and hit up PlayStation about all this and finally got a quote from a spokesperson. It reads like this. We're always open to hearing what the PlayStation community is interested in to enhance their gaming experience. With more than 80 million monthly active users on PlayStation Network, we've built a huge community of gamers who can play together on Fortnite and all online titles. We also offer Fortnite cross-play support with PC, Mac, iOS, and Android devices, expanding the opportunity for Fortnite fans on PlayStation 4 to play with even more gamers on other platforms. We have nothing further to add beyond this point, the spokesperson added. What a completely dense, stupid PR quote. In the fact that we either don't understand, the person giving this quote either doesn't understand what the issue is or just refuses to acknowledge it, expecting that to make it go away. When in reality, you go, like I saw Jim Sterling tweet about this during E3 week in the same breath as my tweet. He had quote tweeted, like PlayStation put up their schedule of like, here's everything that's coming to live stage. And all the responses were like, please unlock my Fortnite account. Like, please untether it. Like, this quote misses the point of why people are upset. I don't care, frankly, about crossplay. Switch and the phone, that was cool. I just care about progression, especially because it's another system. It's an account. And my other huge issue with this problem, right, is that I know Nintendo will tell you the Nintendo Switch is a home console that can also be taken handheld. For a lot of people, and I won't say majority, for a lot of people, and definitely my friends, the Switch is the handheld device. It's when you're on the road. It's when you're on the go. And PlayStation, if they want to commit to this, fine. Give me the alternative. Where's the Vita 2? Where, you know what I mean? You didn't want to support it this way. You didn't want to give me an opportunity to play out there. Mobile phones, gaming's fine. Like I said, when they launched Fortnite on iOS, I was impressed with the fidelity, and it was cool that night to go from playing on my TV to playing on my phone while I was cooking. I was like, oh man, I still want buttons. I still want the tactile thing. I still think the Switch thing runs great. Again, I am a Fortnite not expert. So many people, but the frame rate and this, and I'm like, right now, everybody on Switch is as bad as I am. It's great. We're having a great time. I'm actually competitive. I'm mind-boggled that there's this problem that has to be the easiest switch to flip. It has to just be PlayStation saying, okay, fine, cross account access is fine for this. That's all we're looking for. And they give this bullshit quote to the BBC that doesn't answer anything and basically says that's all we're going to, we have nothing further to add beyond this point.
I wonder what it is. Like, I wonder if there's something that we don't know that either they can't say for weird legal reasons,
yeah,
or if it like, I don't know what they gain from doing this type of stuff. Like, if it is just they like a fuck gain. You, Xbox and Nintendo, like, yeah, this is the place you're going to play, like, then it's like, oh, man. But, like, I wonder if there is some reason, and I wonder if we'll ever hear that.
I doubt there is, and I bet this gets repealed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I'm surprised it hasn't already. I would think the major thing would be the fact that it was E3. There's a million things going on. It's a fire drill on everything. And also the hope, and I understand this as a business owner, is that we have so much good news to talk about, we don't need to talk about this.
Yep.
When, in fact, this is all anybody wanted to talk about at E3, right? When we had mm-hmm. Klepek on the E3 stage, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is up right now. I was like, what's the biggest story of E3? You know, Waypoint's Patrick Klepek, Mr. Scoops. And he's like, definitely this Fortnite stuff, right? And it was the thing we all wanted to talk about because it's such a mind-boggling decision in the way that, and I, you know, when we had Major Nelson on the stage, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames at E3, he made a bunch of little jokes, jabs about it, and then I finally was like, well, let's just talk about this in real, you know, not just veiled jokes. And it's just the fact that I understand Xbox is behind this generation, and so again, they need to make the gamer first moves and all these different things. I don't understand who at PlayStation has the power to look at what they're doing and say, yeah, this objectively doesn't make us look terrified. This makes them look like they are scared of the competition, as if I'm going to go play it on Switch, right? With the PlayStation account I already have, and get so into the game and be like, well, I'm only playing it on Switch. Like, no, it should be the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm playing so much on Switch that I start to learn, I already am learning different aspects of the game that I didn't know before, having a good time, and then when Jen and I are at home, we sit there with the dual TVs on the PlayStations and play. But the fact they're not doing that, and now I'm already making progress on this. Like today, you know, I wanted to give them basically a week to get their shit together so I can just see it. But at this point, like, Epic, you've earned my second battle pass on. You can have the $10 on Switch. I'm playing it that much. I'm enjoying it that much that I want to reward you with it. And I don't want to look like this dumb army character, the default armor character everybody knows, right?
Yeah.
I'm so bewildered that it's happened and that PlayStation hasn't had a proper response. Because mm-hmm. what you need is you need a tweet from Sean Layden that, okay, cool, we're looking into it. We understand. But, like, we get this thing from a person about crossplay, which isn't even the argument we're having. It's. I don't want to say insulting because it sounds so
entitled.
Exactly. Thank you. But it's just like, why even give the statement at all? Like, yeah. You know what? If you don't say anything, it's like, okay, cool. I don't know what they're doing. But, like, to say, come on, say the wrong thing. More news for you on this, of course. Fortnite's been downloaded on Switch more than 2 million times in 24 hours. I missed that during E3. I'm flabbergasted that it's still a thing. And, again, I hope it's just at E3. I hope by the end of this week they've made a statement of, like, here's why we're doing it and why we're not changing our mind. We're going to, like we always talk about, right? We're going to explain the business decision to you. We're going to let you understand that there are human beings behind this company, that we are, this is the reasoning and this is why. Or they say, okay, fine. Crossplay is still not an option for us, but we understand that the Epic account thing is a bridge too far. Because mm-hmm. it's just foolish for me to play a game on a platform, invest money into it, and not be able to get it. And I've made the argument too. Like, again, we've said this before many times. We don't have business degrees. Perhaps it is that,
scientist,
you know, when you buy, maybe there's some different cut that I don't understand of me making a purchase through the Switch, through the Xbox, and through the PlayStation. And maybe me buying something for my Fortnite account on Nintendo gets me a better split, or gets Epic a better split than me buying something on PlayStation. And that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'd come out and say that if I was PlayStation. We're all adults playing, or for the majority of parts, we're all adults, you know what I mean? The people who are super mad about this are adults and would understand, here's the business reason we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just say that and, like, figure out what the problem is and why this has to happen. I digress. There, another piece of news for Fortnite for you. There's a countdown on the TVs in the Switch version only right now in Fortnite. I saw this via Rich Tovin. I think it's like Beethoven, but I think it's Rich Tovin. On Reddit, it ends Tuesday. If you go to the Nintendo Switch, if you see a TV in a house, it's got a countdown running that'll end tomorrow.
Okay, I got a little gift for you, man.
What do you got for me? Andy Cortez. What's this? Hey, it's V-Bucks. Where did you get this? Did you go to the booth?
No, Elise and James were given a bunch of them, so they give some to me and some to Adam and stuff.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, there you go. Now I can just go redeem this and then get my battle pass for Switch that way.
There you go.
And there you go. Thank you, Andy. We playing at lunch?
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah, we are. Nitro Rifle. I have questions, though. Sean writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, who, other than Nintendo, benefits most from Fortnite on Switch? Switch's Fortnite port is amazing. Father's Day weekend meant a good deal of couch co-op with my two boys playing squads. Two of us on Switch's handheld, and the other playing Xbox on the big screen. Game-changing fun. It got me to thinking that Xbox might be a huge benefactor of the Switch port. All of my kids play on Xbox, and now they can connect with even more with a thriving Nintendo community. Definitely seems like an egregious misstep by Sony not to allow cross-platform play. Love everything you do, and crew. Love everything you and crew do, Sean. Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
I think the fact that on our stage, Major Nelson walked up with his Switch in hand was very much a shot of like, this is what it is. And it does quickly become what I'm saying. As I continue to play Fortnite on Switch, as Andy and I play, as Jen and I play, it does become that my quote unquote, you know, bullshit Epic account I had to make for the Switch thing is going to become my real Epic account. Mm-hmm. And when that does, why would I ever go back to PlayStation? Because if we're all just playing on Switch and then my Xbox One X is right there and I'm already not getting trophies, that's the other thing. There's no trophies for Battle Royale mode.
Yeah.
What's the fucking point?
Oh, man.
It's a huge misstep.
I'm very interested to see what they
do next. It's the biggest game going right now.
Yeah.
And that's why, wow, what a foot in your mouth. What a way to fuck this up. I don't know, man. It's going to be fascinating to see what PlayStation does, if anything. Rashim wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, while I understand why people are upset at Sony, because I think they're being really dumb with the Fortnite stuff too, why is no one saying anything at all about Nintendo locking a Pokemon behind a $50 paywall? This is on top of already charging $60 for two versions of the game. I know things get buried at E3, but this sounds a little crazy. Thanks for reading my question, young Greg. Keep killing that shit. Shout out to my homies, Kevin and Andy. What's he talking about?
Mew, if you buy the Pokeball,
yeah,
Mew comes with it, and I think that's the only way that you can
gotcha.
Get the Mew. And I see where you're coming from with, like, why aren't people talking shit? I think the reason they're not is because Pokemon has always been built around the idea of trading with your friends.
Gotcha.
So I do think that it's a situation where Nintendo's trying to encourage, of course they're trying to make money, and putting Mew behind that type of paywall makes a lot of sense financially
yeah.
for them. But then getting it and then trading the Mew to your friends, like, you might not be able to keep the Mew, but at least you get it in your Pokedex and go forward. And if it really matters to you, you can get it. I don't know. Like, it's...
Do you care as a Pokemon fan?
And then I don't. But I think, wouldn't you also be able, and let us know, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you get Mew in Pokemon Go, couldn't you just transfer it that way?
That would make sense, right? He's one of the original 150.
He's
whatever.
151. So, like, he gets a little bit weird. Okay. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Do you want me to call Wolfarb? He'll know.
Yes, I would like that. I'd like that a lot.
You gotta fill time, though.
Yeah, I'll fill time. I didn't get to play Pokemon Go. Let's go. Pokemon Let's Go Eevee or Pikachu. It's the only game I didn't get to play that I wanted to. Oh, that and Anthem were the two games at E3 I wanted to play that I didn't get a chance to. But it looks great. Watched a lot of other people playing while I was in line, and it looks fantastic.
You're going to have to explain this.
Okay.
Hello.
Andrew Goldfarb, it's Greg Miller. You're on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record Kind of Funny Games Daily. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. We have a Pokemon question that a reader wrote in with, and Tim's going to reiterate whatever the hell we're talking about, because you know me. I tuned out a long time ago.
I'm game. What's up?
Okay, Goldfarb. So here's the deal. Mew, right? You buy the Pokeball, you get the Mew. That's the only way to get the Mew in Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you catch a Mew in Pokemon Go?
You can. Okay, so, well, Tim, I'm glad you asked. In Pokemon Go, every player can only get one Mew. And once you get it, that's the only one you can get. And you can't discard it. You can't do anything with it. It won't be eligible for trading that they announced today. So, like, you can get a Mew in Go, but it's just your Mew forever. And that's all you can do.
So you will not be able to transfer that to Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Correct. So the only way to get, you can transfer 1 through 150 from Go to Let's Go, but then, yeah, from Mew, you'll have to buy the accessory.
So you buy the accessory, but once you buy the accessory, theoretically, you'd be able to trade that Mew that you get from that to other people to complete their Pokedex.
From Let's Go to Let's Go, yeah. But they haven't confirmed, at least as far as I know, they haven't confirmed Pokemon Bank yet, so I don't know how that'll work for transferring to, like, other mainline Pokemon games. And then there's no Let's Go to Go. So there's no way to put it, like, back into the mobile game.
Got it. All right. I love you, man. Thank you.
Did that help?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Awesome. Well, anyway, so while I have you guys, let me tell you about trading. No, I'm just kidding.
Have a good day, dude.
Yeah, you guys too.
Bye.
What a nice young man, Andrew Goldfarb.
So educated. I love it.
Man, I'll tell you what. Talk about, like, commitment paying off. put all that time into Pokemon Go. So many people forgot about it. And then, like, guess what? This next Pokemon game is all based around that. And Goldar was like, I got everything. I like him. Number two on the Roper Report. Armored Core is happening. This is via Sal Romano over at Gamatsu, who writes in, writes this on Gamatsu. This is one of those where his entire article, no fluff. I'm going to read the whole thing. Please go to Gamatsu, click on the link, give him a follow there, or go to Twitter and follow Sal Romano. In December 2017, From Software's, I'm just going to skip, the guy in charge of From Software will say, Ogura. Said that the company has no intention of ending the Armored Core series in its current state and asked fans to please wait a little longer. And now, in 2018, with a new Armored Core title still to be announced, From Software president Miyazaki was quizzed on the subject during a Famitsu interview about the company's newly announced PlayStation VR game, Duranasi. And this is the quote now. In a previous interview, I mentioned three things moving along on our studio development line, but Duranasi is not one of those, Miyazaki told Famitsu. I wanted to let some of From Software's fans know that, end quote. When Famitsu asked if Miyazaki is addressing, quote, fans whose bodies are seeking conflict, end quote, Miyazaki did not deny it. Parentheses, this is a reference to a Japanese meme in which any and every event results in the creation of a new Armored Core. It should also be noted that in early March, a Japanese recruitment site posted a game development job for From Software. Quote, in the, quote, interview with a senior employee section of the listed Armored Core 5 and Armored Core Verdict Day, the director mentioned currently working on a new project, the name of which he did not specify. So a long way to say, looks like Armored Core still happening. We're getting closer. Hang on, more Cyan.
Now, I will say, the beginning of the Nintendo Direct at E3 that we saw, they announced a game called Daemon Machina.
Yeah.
It supposedly is a spiritual successor to Armored Core. Like a lot of the guys that worked on the beloved Armored Core games are working on it. And it's also inspired by anime like Code Geass, which gets me really excited. And that should look fucking cool.
Okay. Number three on the Roper Report is a Destiny 2 spoiler, not for the main game, but for that trailer they showed teasing the next round of content. So Destiny 2, spoiler, if you don't want to know anything about this, if you somehow missed that trailer, which kind of threw it in your face what the spoiler was, whatever. Destiny 2, spoiler, it's about Cade 6. This is Nick Santangelo at IGN. Nick says, Bungie has some bad news for Destiny 2 fans who were holding out hope that fan favorite Cade 6 wasn't truly dead in the Forsaken DLC trailer. Quote, he's dead. His ghost is dead, Bungie principal producer Scott Taylor told GamesRadar during E3. Continuing, Taylor explained that there were several reasons for the move. Quote, we wanted to establish the tone of the game and show that we're serious about it, he explained. We also want people to process it. You'll play a mission with him, and you're not really sure when this is going to happen or how, so the emotional experience of that would be very different if you just turned on the game, you saw it, and it was all just a shock. It's actually a little more rich and interesting if you have time to sit with it and reflect. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate they're saying this. I still don't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You believe it that Cade 6 wanted I'm going to say the biggest fan favorite character from Destiny's gone. Nathan Fillion, they're going to kill for good, maybe not bring him back in any way.
Maybe it is money. I don't know.
And maybe it is money. Well, that's
with the dink.
That's been one of the rumors, right? That maybe it was just the fact that, you know, they don't want Nathan Fillion costs, I'm sure, more than a typical voice actor. Yeah. So they're just worried about that or whatever. Yeah.
I can see it.
I don't think
he's dead.
I don't think he's dead. I think you'll definitely see Cade 6
again. I also
don't
know anything.
Kevin, why are you trying to give everybody epileptic shock back there as you continue to flash this back there?
There's no reason for it to be doing that, but it's doing it.
But it usually happens once and you're done.
That's what I'm saying. There's no reason for it to be doing that, and it just will not let me grab it.
I remember
when Pokemon did that? Episode 18.
I do remember that. That was like how a lot of people in the States learned about Pokemon, that it was killing kids.
Yeah.
It was frying their brains. Number four, there's no DLC for Octopath Traveler. This is via Brian Ashcraft over at Kotaku. In an interview with Dengenki Online, Square Enix producer Masashi Takahashi said that it would take about 50 to 60 hours to complete the main story. Quote, it took about 80 to 100 hours in testing to play through the other elements, like sub-stories and dungeons that you don't have to go to, as well as get proficient as you like at using special skills and field commands. What are you doing?
There's a little bug, I lost track of it, and I want to make sure it didn't get in there.
Interesting. Denginki Online asked if there were plans to offer DLC, to which they responded, quote, "We are not thinking about that at all. The release version is a finished product," end quote.
I'm usually a fan of DLC packs, that especially when they're well thought out, like only when they're well thought out. But like for big things like JRPGs, I don't want that. I want a finished project, and that's why, you know, Final Fantasy 15. It's like they can keep making that game for as long as they want to, but like the core game.
I feel like it's so rare that DLC actually gets me back into a game, even for games I love. South Park, Fractured Butthole. I was excited when I was playing it that there's more coming. Never played the DLC. Far Cry, I haven't even beaten. I know there's DLC for that. The list goes on in terms of games that have come out. That's why, like with God of War, I was so happy to platinum it, be done with it. And that was, you know, I mean, I experienced everything there was to experience in that game before they started adding New Game Plus and all this, photo mode and all that jazz. But it was like, cool, I'm done with this. Like, to get back in, it always sounds great, but even Horizon. I jump back into Frozen Wilds, right? And it was like, wait, what was I doing? And how am I doing this? And what? You know, I feel like an idiot. When I left that game, I was perfect at it.
Yeah. But this definitely excites me. I can't wait for this game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. Number five, this is a short one. AJ Styles is the cover athlete of WWE 2K19. It's coming out October 9th. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Cool, Greg, do you have anything to add? Do you like this choice? Get on the microphone over here. Do you like the choice, being a big WWE fan, of AJ Styles as the cover athlete?
Yeah, I think with all the women's wrestling going on, it'd be cool to give it a woman.
Sure.
You know, I think they deserved it last year, so I was hoping this year they'd give it.
Yeah.
But like, speaking of just fans, like especially like YouTube being perfect, AJ Styles is going to be like that guy on the underground. So this is going to have a good conversation, just like I feel like the women's would have. So it's cool.
Great. Thank you, Cool Greg.
Dropping that knowledge.
Tim?
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how WWE 2K19 comes. Mm-hmm. I'm more excited for Fire Pro Wrestling, see how that comes together on PlayStation. Yeah. But both those games are so far away. If I wanted to know what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, the Jurassic World Car Pack DLC for Rocket League is available on all platforms for just $1.99 or your regional equivalent. Then new dates for you. Runbow comes to PlayStation 4 and Switch on July 3rd, and then Warriors Orochi 4 comes out on October 16th, 2018 to PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and digitally on PC for Steam. Deals of the day. This is via Polygon, right? Steam Summer Sale looks to be starting June 21st and ending on July 5th. That was from another website that kind of decoded it, I guess. And then Amazon pre-orders are currently up for GameCube controllers for your Switch. This is via IGN, complete with an updated Super Smash Bros. Logo. The Smash GameCube controller will set you back $29.99. The GameCube controller adapter, which will support four controllers and appears to be the exact same one Nintendo sold to the Wii U, will cost $20. Both items' descriptions say they will release on December 31st, though that could just be a placeholder date, as Ultimate is set for December 7th's release.
Yeah.
I thought about buying them. Yeah. I talked myself out of it. I want to learn to play with the pro controller and just be done with it.
Mm.
Move on. But then I'm afraid that I'll go to other people's houses, like your house, and they're going to use just that GameCube controller. And
yeah, I mean, I actually plan to move off of it, but I think I'm going to use my 8-bit SNES controller.
Sure. But even that would be more, I think, in line with what I would play. Same button layout, right?
As a pro controller?
Yeah.
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 Very similar. The biggest problem is, until they announce some type of situation for a wireless GameCube controller, there's no way to play portable with this because there's no USB slots for the
thing. Sure, just on your Switch.
The handheld itself. This controller adapter only works with the dock.
Yeah.
I like how the controller looks with the new logo, clean Smash logo.
Oh, come on. GameCube controllers are beautiful.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
And wired, I get why they're doing that for the competitive stuff. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm hoping we get some GameCube Joy-Cons, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but like it would get kind of weird to get that many peripherals and special things just for Smash, but any game that deserves it, it's Smash. I hope they're a bit easier to get the controller adapters than they were last time.
Yeah, that was my thing. I remember this being so hard to come by for Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we already have a couple, but I want more.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Reader Mail. Be part of the show. Write in kindoffunny.com/KFGD. But first, let me tell you, it's brought to you by brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference on how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with the best sheets ever, brooklinen.com. These are the best, most comfortable sheets without a big markup. You can upgrade your nightly routine and help feel more well-rested every day. They were already named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Versatile colors and patterns you can mix and match to complement any decor. I use these. Tim uses these. Mm-hmm. I love mine.
I love mine.
Every photo you see of Portillo in the bed, he's lying on Brooklinen sheets. Ooh. And they are soft on his soft puppy fur.
Mm-hmm. I missed my sheets so bad this last week. Getting back into that bed felt real good.
Greg. Yeah, it did feel good to get back at home to our beds. I remember I like them because they're even easy for me, somebody who's stupid. I impressed my wife with them because I was able to mix and match the colors and make it all look good. You can do it. Go online. See how it goes.
Impress your wife.
Impress
Greg's wife.
Okay, yeah, sure. When you get your Brooklinen sheets, take a photo and tweet it to @gangster. It's easy. And see what she thinks of it. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer for you, the listener. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. Meanwhile, we're also sponsored by MeUndies. You've definitely heard me talk about MeUndies before, and I'll actually read their text here. You know the fun. You know the fun, comfy undies that feel as good as they look. To those of you who haven't tried them yet, listen up. You can get an incredible underwear sent to your door with MeUndies, meaning no more hunting around for the perfect pair at a crowded store and eventually settling for good enough.
He's more than good enough, Greg.
MeUndies is so sure you'll love your first pair, and if you're not happy, they'll do whatever they can to make it right. And if they can't, keep them and they'll refund you. It's really risk-free to try these underwear. If you're already part of the MeUndies fam, this is new. Tell your friends about it through their referral program. You'll get a discount. It's win-win. I gotta start doing that more. Still not sure? Well, MeUndies has a deal for my listeners. First-time purchasers get 20% off their first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. That's 20% off with free shipping. You are guaranteed that you'll like them. If not, they'll give them back. They'll give you the money back. You keep the undies. Get your butt over to MeUndies.com and treat yourself to get the 20% off and your first pair, or first 20% off first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. You and I are both wearing MeUndies today.
Currently.
Because that's all we wear. They're fantastic underwear. I digress.
What can I say?
Lucas writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Dear Greg and Tim, with this E3 in the books, I would like to hear your thoughts on how the biggest event in the industry is evolving. Last year, the discussion was centered around E3 being open to the public for the first time. In my opinion, the big takeaway from this year is the amount of publishers who decided to announce their games ahead of E3. My question is this. Do you think E3 is trending towards becoming a month or so of game announcements leading up to E3 proper? Or is 2018 an exception due to leaks from Walmart Canada and others? Love and respect from merry old England, Lucas." Lucas, I expect to see you at RTX London. Tim?
Being at E3 this year and seeing it all happen and seeing kind of the conversations that were going on with both the public and all the people that came out to see us in the meet and greet, and also all the industry people on both sides, whether it's media or the dev and pub side or PR, all that stuff. Like, I feel like the people who are saying E3 is dead are crazy. I feel like it was huge this year, and I feel like there was a lot of
people saying it's dead.
Yeah, a lot of people were. And I'm like, you're crazy. You're fucking crazy. I think they really went to a lot of good lengths to make the experience better for the public this year. I heard a lot less complaining from the press side about the public. So I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
And
I definitely think that they learned their lesson, publishers and developers, last time around. More open booths.
Way open booths, a lot more space. It was crowded, but like conventions are crowded. There's no way around that. But I felt like it wasn't like butt to butt. It was way more like you have your space. And I feel like they did a good job setting up booths with like demo stations. Nintendo did a great job with its reservation system for Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people who were worried about that, but it ended up working out really well from everyone I talked to on the public side. And then there's things like the Cyberpunk 2077 demo behind closed doors that has started a lot of conversation online. Like I was looking at Reset Era, a lot of people being like, if the media loves it so much and they have nothing but good things to say, why don't you put the demo out online for everyone? And I feel like it's things like that that are why E3 isn't going to die. E3 is still the place that all of games media, all of video games are in one place for the only time a year. Right.
There's
E3 is different. And I feel like having those type of behind closed doors things where media get to see games that the public don't get to see and be able to give their impressions, be able to, you know, have that different type of experience. It validates a lot of different sides of the industry. Like it proves that places like IGN are not going to go away. You know, it is not just going to be overcome by YouTube idiots like us.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, with all of the publishers and leaks and stuff and people announcing their games, I feel like over the last couple of years, we've seen more and more announcements leading into E3. And I think that we will continue to see more and more in the same way that we saw a shift from games only coming out in the fall to now fall and spring. And then I'm sure eventually we'll get them in the summer as well. It's just like there's more games, there's higher quality, there's more people playing. It's like there's just more announcements to be made. And I feel like E3 is still important to be able to play the games that are announced and leaked over the month leading into it. So people get impressions. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We did a whole bunch of impressions of games that we played that had leaked over the month going into it. But that doesn't change what E3 is and its importance.
Yeah, I think Lucas is right that this is one of the most clear examples recently of E3 evolving into what the video game industry is in 2018 and in its current round, right? Where I think you can look at a game like The Division 2, Tomb Raider, all these things that because they get announced a little bit early, because they show something a little bit early, and I guess Division 2 isn't a great example of that, but we knew it was coming. It got a chance to get that audience hyped up so they wouldn't miss the news. Mm-hmm. I think a great counterbalance to this, because I think when you get to E3, it still is, hey, guess what? Smash Brothers, Last of Us, Spider-Man, AAA, big titles you know about. CD Projekt Red being, I think, in this category, even though Cyberpunk maybe isn't in terms of a brand recognition. But hey, these are the things that are going to gobble up all the oxygen. And think about how hard it is then to announce a game at E3 and get people excited and talking about it and playing it. We went and played Killer Queen Black. What an amazing game. Eventually there'll be a video up on it, or a party mode or whatever. We had a great time playing it. When we were doing our meet and greet, we were talking to people about it. When we did stuff on the GameSpot stage, we're like, who's played it? And it was like a smattering of applause. Not the majority of people there hadn't seen it or done anything with it. I haven't seen people talking about it on the internet. Even Overcooked 2 getting announced there, right? Cool. I'm excited that's there. It doesn't have a chance to live and thrive at E3 because the oxygen and the views and what people want to talk about are what is happening in Smash. How does Link play? What was it like to swing in Spider-Man? Do we think Ellie's doing this, that, or the other? There's only so much time and so much conversation for an E3 timeline. And to have those games announced there and shown there for the first time, I think actually takes them out at the knees when they could have had a longer tail cycle. And I think so many games did get ahead of that this year by coming out and being, we're going to announce earlier, we're going to go to judges, we can be shown early, and then have a chance for you to talk about it whenever. But, I mean, Overcooked's a great example of that. That I played Overcooked weeks ago at Judges Week. And so when it came up and it finally got announced at Nintendo, I was able to be like, hey, I liked it and I played it and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't as great it would have been if I could have talked about that a week before and put up a hands-on or something like that. I think people are becoming aware of that, and that is extending E3 to be a longer, more drawn-out experience, which I like. Yeah. I like that it is weeks and weeks of announcements leading up to it.
It's great. What I don't really love is the leaks when you get close to E3. I love my leaks. You know that about
me.
I love the hype. But you get close enough to E3 that I'm like, oh, like I want the surprise. I want to see it the way that they wanted me to experience it, and Killer Queen is a good example of that. I love finding out about the leak. That was great, but I would have freaked the fuck out watching that Nintendo Direct if that was the first time I heard about that. It is weird because, you know, a lot of companies are kind of taking it upon themselves to directly have the message. Nintendo's been doing it for years, but, you know, we see it with Ubisoft. Like, fuck it. Division 2, you're going to hear about this before. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, going to have its own event.
Yeah.
All that stuff is them owning and trying to, like, get the spotlight and not have to share it with everyone else. And, you know, Nintendo's done a great job of not just having E3 and that's it, but throughout the year having different directs, having different spotlights, having different indie showcases. And Killer Queen would have been awesome in an indie showcase, where, and Overcooked 2 as well.
Yeah.
Announce it there, then it would have that kind of golf story type hype behind it of like, oh shit, that's the game of this direct that people are talking about. But then I do think there's something important about Nintendo being like, no, we want to put this up against our E3 lineup. Like, we want to show that the indies are also a huge part of our strategy and can be talked about in the same breath as Super Mario Party and Smash Brothers.
Yeah, but they really weren't.
I don't know.
I mean, they were part of a sizzle reel trailer, right? And that was their big announcement and stuff. I feel like they still got stepped on there, and I feel like they didn't
get stepped on, but I mean, I feel like that's the type of shit where
I think you could
have at the booth. There was only like 10 games at the Nintendo booth. It was one of them.
I still feel like that's a game that you could have let them announce a few days before and then still had it in the same sizzle reel, and it would have been news to a lot of people, and fan bases that were waiting for it would be energized and talking about it in a place where they had more room to say, this is awesome and you need to pay attention to it. Whereas I feel like the Killer Queen community got drowned out by just the excitement of everything else happening.
We'll see it in an Indies Direct.
Oh, sure.
It's
going
to do a deeper dive.
No. These games are going to be fine when they come out. I'm not saying like they're DOA or something. Let's go to Biodog PS.
Biodog.
He writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, KFGD show host. Did Bethesda just literally announce a game for 2025? They said the next game they were doing after Fallout 76 was Starfield, a next generation title, which means it won't be here until 2020 or 2021 at the earliest. Then they said the next game after that would be The Elder Scrolls 6. Wouldn't that put its release somewhere in the mid-2020s? Why would Bethesda announce a game so early before they even start working on it? Was it just to stop people from asking if it is a thing? If that's the case, then won't people be asking when instead? What could they be thinking? Biodog PS. Tim, what are they thinking?
I've said a million times, I am a fan of some games being this kind of unicorn thing that we look forward into the future for, and you know, get little updates here and there at different E3s over a couple of years until it finally happens. If every game was like that, we'd live in a fucking horrible world.
Sure.
But that's not the case. If it's like a handful across all the publishers, I think it's kind of a fun thing. With Bethesda, I forgot who it was. It might have been Patrick Klepek.
Okay.
That brought up a good point when we were doing our Game Spotlight.
Patrick.
Where he was just saying that, like, that the reason that they did that, the reason they talked about, here's our new IP, and here's Elder Scrolls 6, those are things that are going to come, is to tell people that Fallout 76 is a departure from what you know from Bethesda, but do not worry, you're going to get the thing you want.
100%.
We are working on that hardcore RPG, huge open world game, not one of them, two of them. And we're working on them. They'll be there. We're not, you know, turning our backs on what made Bethesda Bethesda with the single player stuff. And they made such a big deal at the Game Awards. And 76 is a departure. And we hope you like that, too. But don't leave us.
It was a great way of them saying we are still the Bethesda you know and love. Mm-hmm. That, yes, this is different. And if it's what Patrick said, if it's not for you, fine. You are getting two games down the road here from us that are for you.
Yeah.
And I thought it was an interesting, smart strategy in the way to do it. Because, Fallout 76, to me, I look at it and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to need to jump in that beta or, you know, do a preview session and see if that's for me, because it doesn't look like it is. But I'm still excited for what it could be. I'm more excited for Starfield. I'm more excited for Elder Scrolls.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to wait and see. Benji wrote in thekindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, hey, Kind of Funny crew, and welcome back. I hope you had fun last week. My question is, do you feel like Microsoft has accomplished what they had to do? Do you feel like they convinced you? Personally, I think their conference was amazing. They lacked console exclusives for sure, but I really enjoyed when Phil Spencer talked about the studios they acquired and hinted at new projects. I'd love to hear your thoughts, but I think it's clear that it's looking bright for Microsoft in the coming years. Thank you, and praise be the widget, Benji. Remember Widge? I miss Widge every day.
Never forget the Widge.
They accomplished what they needed to do.
I feel like their conference was excellent, and I feel like given the reality that we live in, the reality that Microsoft's in, and the state of where all of their teams are at with their first-party titles, I think they did the absolute best that they could. Is there a different idealized world where there is a proper Halo game coming this year, and they're like, Halo, Gears, Forza, all of the IP you know from us, they're lined up and ready to go. Here's a reason to buy an Xbox One, not maybe later, maybe next year, because they did such a good job with third parties, having surprises, having a bunch of games that we know are also coming to PlayStation being shown off. And that's very important. They had the announcement of we're building a future with all of these studios, which is awesome. Phil Spencer killed it up there. Announcing a Halo and a Gears in the same year is huge news. But yeah, in a perfect world, they would have a lineup more similar to what Sony has, where it's like, yo, we got these first party games. You know, sure. Spider-Man's coming. You know, Days Gone's coming. You know, Death Stranding. You know, like this, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
Microsoft doesn't have that because they weren't gearing up for that the last couple of years.
Sure.
It's very clear this E3 proves to me Microsoft is gearing up towards their next console and they want to fucking come out the gate swinging.
I mean, do you feel like Microsoft has accomplished what they had to do? Yes and no. It depends what you think they had to accomplish, right? I think, their press conference was awesome. I thought they had a bunch of cool announcements. I thought it was, you know, I was into it from start to finish in terms of like, okay, cool, what's this, what's that, okay. I'm not, like, the announcement that has made me think, man, I'm going to be playing my Xbox One a lot, right, is the Fortnite thing, that PlayStation's fucking that up. And I'm super excited for when Phil came out and said, here are the five studios we're doing. Here's our first parties we're adding. Fuck yes. Great job. That is what you need to do. That gets me super excited for the future. That's accomplished getting me excited for the future of Xbox. I think it's accomplished, again, that this generation, Xbox is unrivaled at, hey, we are doing everything for the gamers, which is funny because PlayStation made such a big deal of hashtag for the gamers. But it is Xbox that is delivering on all of those promises of backwards compatibility, of Game Pass, of, hey, yep, we are investing in ourselves to make games you want, play them anywhere, do all this different stuff. Xbox is killing it at that. But it didn't make me, I didn't leave like, holy shit, I can't wait to play Gears. I can't wait to play Halo. Those aren't my jams. That's okay.
To answer your question, do you feel Microsoft has accomplished what they had to do? I feel like they had to prove that they're not fucked. And I think they did that for sure. Because I feel like this was the E3 of if they came out and bombed, it'd be like, damn, Xbox. Like,
yeah,
come on, guys. But they did not do that. They came super hard all over the place.
Oh, God, Tim.
I started the sentence and I was like, I didn't want to finish it that way, but I had to.
I forgot. Like, a lot happened over E3. I'm gonna jump. We're gonna read this article jump from Push Square over there. Sammy Barker put this up. Rumor is PlayStation Now getting a download option.
Oh, that's right.
PlayStation Now could be about to get a whole lot more desirable. But we'd hold your horses on getting hyped for it. An image popped up on Reddit showing a screenshot from the streaming service user's interface, and it appears to imply that a download option is being added to the application. Theoretically, this would imply that subscribers will be able to download the software to play them natively, similar to a PlayStation Plus game or Now. Game Pass over on Xbox. No, I saw this obviously during E3, but when are we going to talk about it? A million things happening. So we'll keep an eye on that. Just something interesting to toss out there as we talked about PlayStation Now needing to be competitive if they want it to be
potential game changer. And I feel like if Sony were to make an event, have a huge rollout plan that can quote unquote rival Game Pass, and just on a fucking random Tuesday,
I mean,
just
like
make an announcement.
That would be the thing. Like, what if they did like. It'd be awesome to see PlayStation be like, all right, and have it be Gio, have it be Ramon, whatever, have it be Sid. That, hey, we're doing a stream and it's laid back, and we did the E3 thing. We showed you all the big stuff, right? Now we're doing something much more intended for you, the PlayStation Nation, right? What we're doing is you can download games off PlayStation Now. Now, guess what? At the end of this thing, you can change your PSN name for $10 or whatever. Like, do all that like stuff that we, and then also, and now toss it in. Hey, we screwed up with the Epic account thing. We'll be able to fix that. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yeah.
Of course, that's a perfect world. Nobody listens to us. Nobody lets us do anything. I think Kevin just had a heart attack. Zachary B. Actually, Zachy B.
Zachy B.
Wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD
what
and says,
what the fuck Zachy B want to know, Greg?
Long time, first time, but straight to business. I've watched that Last of Us 2 trailer from E3 at least 5 dozen times. Parentheses, bit of an exaggeration, but a lot. And I can't help but wonder what if that exact scene is how the game opens. I would hate it if they spoiled that for us, but that would be almost comparable to The Last of Us opening minus the heartbreaking ending. So my question is, where do you think that scene will be placed in the game? And do you think we'll see it played out exactly like that? Or do you think that was some editing to make it an incredible E3 demo?
I don't think it's the opening, and I think there was editing. I think it'll be different when we see it in the final.
I definitely don't think it's the opening. But I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see editing for it, actually. I think what they need to do is we're going to obviously the opening is going to be something none of us can predict, I imagine, because it'll be like the opening of Last of Us Part 1 of what the fuck is this, right? And then it'll be either a flash forward or whatever. I'm still thinking we're going to play as Ellie's mom at some point, just as one of my Greg Miller predictions. But we'll get to Ellie in present day of her in this community and what that looks like and doing stupid stuff around there to set up everything, see Joel, see how the community's working, and then I would imagine introduce the woman from the trailer we saw, then probably have her, I'm assuming Ellie's quest for revenge is somehow tied to her. That was our whole thing of like, in the original debut trailer, are they sure you want to do this kid? Like, blah, blah. And I think that's what she's off doing when we got the flash forward from the barn or the church, whatever you want to call it. So I'd imagine we have to set up that she's taken or something like that. And then as we're out on the roll, I think this is in the first third of the game, you get that what we just saw there. Mm. But you're already out. You have to get out. You have to be established. You have to learn the controls and then get that section. We were out fucking straight knifing dudes. Brandon writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, what's up, KFGD crew? Angry Greg voice. Where the hell was Rocksteady at E3? Oh, sure. Sefton Hill tweeted that him and the team were busy working on their game in their studio, but he did that the last day of E3. Why not do it in the beginning instead of allowing us all a glimmer of hope with a Superman rumor? And Angry Greg voice. Anyway, I still enjoyed the hell out of E3, but when do you think Rocksteady will show their next game? Game Awards? PSX? Thanks for your time. Just had to get that off my chest. Brandon, I think Sefton's tweet, of course, Sefton Hill from Rocksteady put out a thing basically being like, hey, we see everybody's excited for us at E3. Sorry we're not there. We're still working on our game. Just wasn't time for us. Yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
I think he puts that out on the last day of E3 because it was so loud, first off, coming in that it was going to be, they'd be there. And then when they weren't there, people were angry, internet angry about them not being there. Not in the joking Greg Miller internet angry way. And so I think it was just like, let's say something. We can't ignore this. WBPR, are you fine with us doing this kind of thing? Blah, blah, blah. Get out there and do that. I think you don't say that in the beginning. Like, you're at Brandon Wild House, the hope. Because they want you to talk about it. Everybody wants, WB wants you excited at a fever pitch for a Rocksteady game. They totally want you all about it. When do you think we'll see whatever Rocksteady's working on?
I don't know, man. I could have sworn we'd see it this year.
Me too.
E3. I don't know, but you know, Rocksteady are one of the very few people that can just come out and make their own event.
Yeah.
And I don't mean actually have an event, but I mean like them announcing, they can pull a Rocksteady of like trailer in 3 days. Get fucking hyped.
Sure. I would imagine, this sounds, I'm sure, weird, but I think Rocksteady is at a place right now that they are huge, and everything that happened right now showed that. And so I don't think they're bigger than the Game Awards. Don't get me wrong, there's a bunch of big games that have been announced. I mean, the fucking Last of Us at a Game Awards, right? But I still feel like you could sit and wait till next E3 and really let them own next E3. Mm-hmm. Like, we are, you know, maybe tease it, maybe not, but come out and show that on a stage and really blow everybody's doors off. But you could do it at E3 or Game Awards as well. I just feel like you don't have to. Yeah. I just feel like you don't have to. Especially thinking about like what Game Awards, I guess that's both hand in hand. I was getting caught up with, usually if you show something in Game Awards, you come to PSX, but PSX last year, right, with the roundtable showcase thing, that wouldn't have worked for, hey, we're announcing this. So who knows what'll happen.
Who knows?
I will say next E3, though. So everybody go into your cryo chambers. Cry to Sefton Hill on Twitter. Final question of the day comes from Parker Petroff, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Tim, Andrea, Jared, and the ghost of Gary Whitta. I really enjoyed Kind of Funny's E3 coverage this year. Thanks for all your hard work. Thank you for watching and listening. I come bearing a Division 2 question. In the sections you played, Greg, did the non-boss enemies feel as much of a bullet sponge as they do in the first Division, where you could shoot the same enemy several times without them dying? As that was the main issue I had with the original Division, and was curious how it felt to kill enemies in Division 2. Thanks for what you do, Parker. Parker, I know I talked about this, I think, on the Division panel that I hosted. Hey, what's up? And heads up, obviously, we worked with them for that. So if you want to take my opinion of the Division with a grain of salt, no big deal. And then when I talked about it, why it was one of my games of the show and stuff. The bosses, you know, have the stuff that pops off. The characters, that was never a problem for me with the Division. I know Andy said it was for him. It felt for me normal. So I can't really speak to how fast a normal enemy went down. It was multiple shots. It wasn't like one headshot and they were dropping, but they were going quickly and I was getting good shots in on them. So I don't think it's that different, but it might be a little bit better. They did talk obviously about wanting to make the combat more realistic. Obviously for you as the player now, you have a armor bar. When that's gone, if you get shot a couple times, you're down. So I'd imagine it was the same thing, because obviously they have armor bars too for specifically purple enemies and whatnot. But I thought it felt good. I can't fucking wait. Kevin, we got to get in there. Shields are live, man. Down. All right, cool. And then I got the Fortnite Switch, though, you know? So much to play right now. So much to do. I love New York Comic Con. Time to squad up! This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in video games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Carter needs help. He is on PC, and then he puts in parentheses, Discord. On PC/Discord, his username is Mr. Baseball number 6669. That's right, Mr. Baseball number 6669. Carter says, I'm new to the Division. I'm looking for other best friends to level up with. I'm currently level 15. If you want to play the Division with Carter, a.k.a. Mr. Baseball number 6669, hit him up on Discord. Tim.
Yes.
We ask everybody watching live as we record this on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, of course, to give us a subscription. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, we'd love it if you went there, linked the accounts, gave us the free 30-day subscription. You have to give away each and every 30 days because Amazon doesn't want you to have the money. But we asked them to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Hey, subscribe there too and listening on podcast services around the globe. Hey, leave us a review there too. What do we get wrong today?
Lord of Pwn says, Miss News Arc System Works of Blaze Blue fame is working with Studio Trigger to make a Kill la Kill game coming in 2019. I saw this. Very excited about that. Kill la Kill, an awesome anime, Greg.
Okay.
Let's see. And finally, Charles Jacobson.
Oh, damn, too.
Or Charles J. says, Rocksteady's in London, so it could be saved for Gamescom or Paris Games Week. You'd want something saved for European reveals.
True. But again, I just feel like they're so big. I mean, they could own those shows, though. They can come out and be that, yeah. Who knows?
Who knows, man? Paris Games Week was really big for Sony last year.
If you didn't know, this is, man, Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then you can watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listen on podcast services, including Spotify, around the globe. Tomorrow, the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee, returns to Kinda Funny Games Daily. But until then, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.